It's the energy is too chaotic to get clear information or to form clear ritual or anything of that nature here. It's not okay.
I mean, would it be dangerous?
Hell yeah. It's gonna go bad.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us again. This week, we discuss the Dead Files episode, Shop of Horrors, Horrors, which originally aired August 21st of 2021. This was an AP choice. So, AP, do you want to tell us your secret about why you chose this episode?
Oh, it's so secretive.
Super.
It's because I love the business ones, and I mention it in the episode, but you can find more information on them. And that is like, my brain just wants more information about stuff. So we're able to get a little bit more and to scan through the document, saw this episode, looked up the description and said, here you go, Amy, this one sounds good.
And it did. It was good.
It was really good.
Yeah. Content warning. We do have a few things in here that there was child death in history, which is pretty recent to, I mean, within the last 15 years for here, it was within 10 years when the episode aired. Domestic violence in all three historical cases, along with murder and death by suicide.
Yep. We hope you enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get on this bad
That's
boy.
That's what she said.
Oh, this is going to be a great day, guys.
Oh, boy. I should have grabbed a cocktail. Maybe I'll do that later.
I should have grabbed it. That's what she said.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oh,
boy.
Welcome back, everyone. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Shop of Horrors, and AP is here with your overview. Take it away, AP.
Thank you, Amy. We're in Modesto, California, where we meet shop owner named Dana, who made her lifelong dream happen. However, it's becoming a nightmare. Dana, along with two of her employees, Michelle and Ava, share their experiences they have. These range from hearing voices to sudden mood changes, shadow figures, being watched, and physical attacks. Dana is very concerned for the safety of her family, friends, employees, and customers. She just wants everyone to be and feel safe here. A couple of things to note. Dana has allowed investigations on this property, mediums, paranormal groups, and Ouija boards. Oh my. Michelle has EVP sessions very regularly, and when asked if she would stop, she said no. Ava uses the Ouija board quite often and admits she is addicted to talking with the dead because we get responses. She also said she would not quit. Steve is not thrilled with any of these responses. And lastly, the business operates in a building that was previously a funeral home with a crematorium on the premises. Next, Steve chats with three different experts about what happened around here, and all of it is bad. First, a local historian who tells us about a relatively recent 2011 murder of a young boy by his father who subsequently dies by suicide. Second, we hear from a local author about another violent case, this time in 1931, where a man with a violent history meets a violent end. Lastly, a local journalist shares the story of a well-to-do husband and wife from 1910. The husband snaps and attacks his wife for no reason. He almost kills her, but she survives. He then takes his own life. Throughout the episode, Amy deals with a tall man who forms attachments quickly and often comes with an air of anxiety. Amy finds the energy chaotic and dangerous. This episode gives us a crash course as to why you can't trust a child ghost. She sees a child, roughly 5 to 8 years old, but it's not a child. It's a demon. This demon is all about violence and anger and seems to groom the anger out of people. At the reveal, we have all three women who are meeting at Dana's house, not the property. Amy says, this was one of the most draining walks I've ever done. Amy learns about the seances, EVP sessions, paranormal investigations, and Ouija board sessions. And in a very stone-cold voice says, I talk with the dead. Be aware of who you're really talking to. Amy shares two sketches, the demon boy and the tall man, both who worry her. We learn that the women have all felt a presence come home with them. Steve asks, can they fix it? Surprisingly, Amy says yes and shares steps on how to do so. Stay tuned to see if the activity continues.
Okie doke. Did you guys see my note from when I made the transcript? And I said my favorite part of doing these is how the transcript does Steve's voice in the beginning when he says,
DeShop.
I'm Steve DeShoppy. Yeah, this time it was, I'm Steve DeShoppy. S-H-O-P-P-E.
Just like an old-fashioned town shop.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I haven't saved the rest of those. I should, because they're pretty funny. And I laugh at them every time, but this time I saved it.
Well, kicking us right off here, I feel like there's a lot of classic things that we see in this one. Lifelong dream is
She'll
one
have
of
to
the...
shut it down.
She might have to shut it down.
So get
she
your does, bingo cards out, everyone.
And Dana does come in strong with, we come in love, light, and respect, which I've looked up a few different things. She's quoted saying that in several different articles.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I know we've looked up a few things and they've been on some other investigative shows as well.
We'll talk about that later.
She's got a background in that, all that kind of stuff. And her employees will learn, are, you know, like you said, they're doing Ouija and stuff.
I mean, I liked Dana. I thought she...
I did too. I liked all of them.
I mean, I know, you know, we talk about this before where some people go on, you know, a bunch of different shows to get clout, and I don't get that from her. I think she honestly, you know, wanted to figure out what was going on and, you know, figure out how to make this shop safe. She never really said, from what I remember, that we need to get rid of everything. I think she just wanted it to be safe for her
She
employees.
Says safe about a half dozen times in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And
so that should be on the bingo card.
Yeah, totally believe all that, too. I think there's a little bit of like, yeah, we got a haunted place here. You guys should come out and see it. And so I think it entwines a little bit and maybe it gets, you know, original intention, maybe gets lost. But that's my perception. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing because they're also trying to take care of, at least it seems like she's trying to take care of get rid of the negative spirits. Whereas potentially the others may be a little bit more in tune to bringing them back in.
Yeah, I struggled with her employees in this episode because they were, we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
I think there's an excitement and there's that aspect of like, oh, I'm getting things. I mean, we all would get excited that way too. But if you're feeling a negative presence coming home, doesn't that make you start, it seems like they, you know, in the reveal, they're all like, yeah, I've had someone follow me home. And I just tell them to go back to the store. I think that was Michelle. Yeah,
that sounds like her.
And just kind of like a, do you really want to be gambling?
What
you're feeling?
Which is
feeling,
like you said, what Amy said is, you know, I talk to the dead all the time. Like, no big deal.
Yeah.
You just have to be very careful about who you're actually talking to.
And I feel like they at least Michelle and the other employee, I can't remember her name. Ava. To me, they were not. They were doing it for funsies. And because, you know, Michelle even said, like, I really like getting talked to and I like when they talk back. And to me, it just, they were treating it like a
game.
Thank you. They were treating it like a game. They weren't treating it with the respect that the spirits deserve. They were treating it
and
like...
And maybe they were, but the way that it came across, and especially when Steve asks the question, would you give this up if Amy told you to? And they both
said no.
Well, one says no, and then the other says, no, I don't think I could. And Steve's like, this is what a drug addict says.
Yeah,
and
a
junkie. She's like, yeah, I guess I am. I'm an addict for...
Loved Steve in this episode.
Yeah. He was really good in this one.
And you all know my feelings on Steve. I agreed with him quite a bit in this episode.
I honestly, like, every time he called them out, I was like, hell yeah. Especially when they talked about Ouija boards and he's like, Amy's not going to like that. Fuck no, Steve. Like, he
says that when he knows that's happening.
He does say that, but he also, I just felt like he was really, he had her back a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
And he was calling him out on their shit.
Yeah.
Well, I think we just got everybody excited for everything else we're going to talk about as we go along here.
And that's our show. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah,
we'll see you next
that was
time.
We just a quickie for tonight. Yeah,
that's what he said.
But sometimes it's hard, or sometimes it's fun to just pick apart the little pieces.
Right. Because it was a theme, like it ran the whole series, and then when you look up some of the which is one of the reasons I love picking businesses, is because you usually get more information.
Yeah.
And or it's easier because we find out the name of the location and we can find out some stuff. And we did. We found a lot of different things, mm-hmm. including all the social media handles and all of that, but mm-hmm. a lot of different articles, and just kind of like, just interesting when you see the same thing being said over and over again. But mm-hmm. then it's like, well, did anything change between each of these investigations, between each of these rounds, between, mm-hmm. you know, did you do everything as suggested, whether it's dead files or anything else? Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it would be really fun to talk to Dana and or the others if they wanted to come on. But I think it would be really fun. I did find her on TikTok and followed her through our TikTok account, and she followed back. So I'm thinking I might send her a message and just tell her.
Dear Dana.
Do you want to come on one more show and talk about what you did? No, I think it would be really interesting to hear her.
Yes.
Her, like, what was it like, this show versus that show versus, and what did you do in between, like mm-hmm. you said, Amy? And I think that would be really fun. So Dana, if you're out there, if you hear this, we would like
especially
to talk to you.
Especially regarding your glow up. Because girl, you look good. I watched The Haunting. A Haunting. Today.
Yes, she was also on A Haunting, and Michelle.
Scary.
It was definitely scarier than The Dead Files, but I don't think it's scary. But it's it's reenactments, and so there's music and lighting and
you mean drama?
Yeah, all this kind of
stuff.
And
the narrator his voice is super spooky.
Yeah.
Like, really, really, really spooky.
I really enjoyed it. I've only seen a handful of episodes.
I had to stop watching that show. I've told this many a time. I had to stop watching it because I was not sleeping at night. Because I was so scared. And then I thought today, I'm like, this was like 15 years ago, you guys. Because I lived with my ex-husband's mother back in 2009, 2008. And I was like, it's not good. I think I tried it back then
and I got bored with them.
Oh my
and
God,
I think
I was
it's
so scared.
A lot of times for me, the reenactments just don't do it.
Sometimes
for me.
They're terrible actors. This one had pretty good actors, I thought.
Okay.
They did not resemble.
This is a good one. I'd watch it. I'd recommend it.
It was good. I did not think that they resembled the real people in any way, shape, or form.
No.
It's always the best part.
Not even a little bit.
No. Well, the one...
Only thing, they were female. I mean, that's about where it ends.
One of the actress that played Dana looked like Dana's wife, Milan, because they did interview her, too, when she was not in the Dead Files. But anyway, we can talk more about The Haunting at the end, because AP hasn't seen it yet.
No, so. I was somewhere where I wouldn't have availability to that over the weekend. All right, so... What else do we have right at the beginning here? Lifelong dream. So bringing us back.
Can I have to shut it down? That'll be on the...
Yeah. We did have... Card. I thought this was interesting too, because there was... Amy talks about a curse around the area, but then it's never brought up again, really. Mm-hmm. Like right at the beginning, she says, the earth swallows you up. Possibly there's a curse.
Hmm.
But there's no mention of any of that later on in the show. So it makes you wonder, is it this demon child that is... Mm. playing on some of that or making it feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there's a lot of, as we mentioned in the overview, there's a lot of darkness that's happened in this area.
Yeah.
Amy, you called out that there was dolls. I tried not to look at them.
I put in the notes. AP, there's lots of creepy dolls here for you.
There were a lot. Yeah.
No, thanks. That is when I go to hell someday, that's where I'll be stuck, is in a doll room. Just if I can move them on the other side and make people freaked out, then fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because right off the bat, we just see shots of everything. And then Steve is like, what exactly is the business? And all we get from Dana is we rent costumes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I think the business is a little bit more than that, but...
Yeah, because it's definitely geared toward the more spooky
macabre.
I mean, you look at all the masks and stuff that are all over the place, and the creepy dolls, and that's definitely not where you're going to go to get, like, your Superman costume.
Yes.
No.
I feel like these are, like, legit costumes.
Mm-hmm. Like theater costumes. Like,
You're not going to go get your sexy nun outfit.
No.
Your
I mean, they probably have those on a
noun here.
End cap. But, yeah.
Yeah.
insert job title here.
Yeah, insert any noun here. Like yeah. sexy kitten, sexy dog, sexy nurse, sexy cop. Yeah.
All the...
Yes.
And I do feel like we're going to have a lot of okays from Steve in this episode, though. That is one of his filler move on words, it seems like. So just be aware, if you watch this after you hear us, you're going to hear a lot of that from him.
Yeah. Or before. I mean, you'll hear it either way.
Mm-hmm. And when we find out from Dana right off the bat that this was a funeral home with a crematorium, Megan, what did you have to say about this?
Okay. So you could, and she's like, this is the actual crematorium was right here where we're standing. There's still ashes on the ceiling. And I'm like,
yeah,
that is very disrespectful to me. Like, that was a human being. And they're like, we'll never clean it because this.
I know. I shouted, clean it up.
I'm like, it's just to me,
it looks like there was a spot where they did try to clean at one point, and then they just, because there was like a white spot.
It looks
in
like
the
water damage to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
it's
you
not
can,
necessarily ash. It's going to be like burned fat.
Yeah.
That's why it's sticking like that, is because it's the staining of.
And like you can.
What comes out of the body.
Appreciate the freakiness of it while also still being respectful. And that's where they lost me, is especially Michelle and Ava. I feel like we're just not. They're treating it like a parlor trick. And these are people. Like these were people.
I'm actually surprised that there did not have to be more done to the facility when the crematorium was removed to make it safe, to make it habitable. Mm-hmm. You know, like it just gives off that really weird, like there were things here that were not meant to be around living people. Yeah. And now we just removed the brick, basically, and the furnace, and it's fine.
It's interesting because in A Haunting, they do talk a little bit more about the crematorium. Mm-hmm. A former worker shows up and talks to Dana about the crematorium, which was really interesting to me.
Well, it was. And I'm curious, the ceiling that they showed over where the staining was... Mm-hmm. That could not have been inside of the crematorium, because if you look at what that is, because there's white paint on it as well, that had to be outside the doors, or it had to be somewhere near like a I don't think that could, maybe I'm wrong, but those have to be such a high temperature in order for a body to burn at a certain
and
point.
A long time.
I don't know how
temperature for that, hours,
unless like. That part is actually reinforced in all the, like, my brain keeps going to food grade just because, like, it's a way that I can explain how something has to be at a certain point.
Yeah, like code.
Yeah.
Thank you. My brain just could not come up with that word. But, you know, like, even if you think about, like, a brick oven pizza place, it's not just a ceiling over the brick oven. There's brick that's in there.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm a little confused.
Well, and I was a little confused because when they were standing there with all the in the rows with all the costumes, and she said this was the crematorium, and they show the ground, and then she's like, there's still ash up on the ceiling. I'm like, why? So I don't know how a crematorium works, but I assume the body goes in the oven and they close it up. So why is there ash
and that's
on the ceiling of, you know, 9 feet away from it?
That's what I was trying to figure out too, is that ash and that staining couldn't have been where the doors were. So like if you saw where there was like a cement square on the ground or a rectangle, that's where they took down the walls of the crematorium. Because obviously you can't just leave that sitting up if you're selling the building, because that's a little unsafe.
Yeah.
One of my questions I would have for Dana is, did she seek this place out because of the history, or was it, you know, potentially the property just happened to be location, timing, and cost?
Based on A Haunting, she didn't seek it out. Based on A Haunting, it was like, and by the way, this was also a crematorium.
Yeah.
And a funeral home. because then her daughter is like, who would live in a crematorium?
In a lot of funeral homes were houses,
yeah.
Did mm-hmm. have a some of them did have the crematorium attached to right. within the
I don't think
itself.
This was. This looks to me like it was always a non-residential property. Okay. I mean, that's just what it looked like to me. But who knows?
Yeah.
Dana knows,
The way that it was in a haunting, mm-hmm. it was like, by the way, this is also. And they okay. were like, that's really
yeah,
cool.
They showed them the reenactment of them going to look mm-hmm. at the place. And they were
and
like.
And the real estate agent refusing to go
yeah,
in.
Yeah, she wouldn't go inside.
She was like, it's very motivated. The sellers are very motivated. And I'm like, ooh, that's a red flag.
And we, I don't know. I was going to say we should just talk about all this at the end, but it's coming up now. So maybe we should just intersperse it now.
Yeah.
They did say that the owner being motivated, that he just like zoomed out middle of the night, left everything in there.
Yeah. Hmm. And so, they even say that the reenactment actors, when they're touring,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was weird because it made it seem in the haunting like they'd already bought it and they were going in to see it. But maybe I misinterpreted that
I think
scene.
They were just looking at it, but then they obviously took it right away. So then the next Got scene, it. You show them cleaning it up.
Okay.
That's how I remember it. But
Trust your memory more than mine.
Okay.
We trust a lot of things more than my memory.
So, yeah, it was Dana, her wife, and one of their daughters
yep.
that mm-hmm. went in. To look at it, and that they were the ones that were helping clean okay. it up and stuff until she started hiring. Michelle was in there, and then mm-hmm. I think there was another one. Was it? I don't think Ava was in there though.
Ava from what I saw in your notes, Ava was not in it.
Yeah, I didn't think she was.
It was Dana, her wife, Michelle, and her daughter.
Yeah,
who are primarily the cleaner uppers in their yeah. reenactments.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So we talk about this, and I mentioned it earlier. Dana says she wants people to feel safe here probably like 5-6 times in the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, what I was getting from that, I'm like, has the hornet's nest been kicked?
Mm-hmm.
Did activity all of a sudden pop off more? Because obviously, you know, I know they talk about energy here and they were relating it more to the dead, it felt like. And I was like, no, I feel like the energy would be more related to the people that would come here to have to say goodbye. Their last goodbyes to their yeah. family
the sadness
members
and all that
because
sure,
yeah
the
yeah.
dead are gone like they
because
don't
I'm like
anything.
Well but that was the way that the interaction between her and Steve was mm-hmm. like you know there was a lot of bad things came through here a lot mm-hmm. of you know bad deaths came through here well yeah it's yeah. a funeral home but usually those at least from what we've gathered throughout everything else is that spirit stays a little bit more tied to where they passed.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
That's like saying a lot of bars have drunks. Like. Yeah.
Well, and, mm-hmm. you know, to that, like where spirits go, Greg and I had this conversation because I was telling him about this crematorium.
And,
he's like,
this is stupid. It's fake.
He was like, why would there be spirits there? They are already dead when they get there. And
God, I hate that I agree with Greg.
It's so true. It's true. But I said, you know, sometimes they, from what we've learned, they haunt people. They come back to mm-hmm. places that were important in their life. It's not necessarily where they died. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. where they lived. It's not the funeral home or the hospital. But
you know what that's making me think of? The Britney episode, wasn't that where they had like they were trying to stretch to attach two graves that were in the cemetery,
yes.
you know, half a mile away.
Yes.
And one of them was that it was an empty grave because the person was a pilot that went down and his body was never recovered.
Oh, yeah.
And so, mm-hmm. you know, obviously his spirit must be haunting here. And it's like, okay, that feels like a pull.
I would argue that it's the least likely place for his spirit to be haunting. There's nothing there except an empty box.
Right. Yeah. Right. It makes no sense.
And it's a half mile from the,
yeah.
the house. It's not like it was in the backyard.
I would say put Brittany on this bingo card. Every bingo card. Because it's like it always
we do.
It she all should be the free space.
We do. We should. Yeah. She should. They don't have a free space in the cards that I make. But
that's stupid.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that everybody that hears us knows. And especially... that our friend Brittany knows, we are not talking about her.
No, we love you, Brittany.
We do have a friend, Brittany, who we interviewed in episode 137. When we invoke Brittany or the Brittany episode, we are not talking about her. Brittany. We are talking about Miss Isolated
Kitchen
is the name
magic.
Of her. Yeah, Kitchen Magic. That's not my handwriting on the walls.
Book.
My dad wrote a book.
About my possession.
That Brittany.
That I just happen to have 20 copies of sitting on
here,
the table
here. Would you like
here.
One? He'll sign it for you.
Steve's like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Steve's like, oh, fucking no.
No.
No. Back to the episode.
Yeah, sorry. We're derailing.
Dana. Right. Dana's
That's
is
never
still
happened
talking.
Before.
No. Weird. Is still talking with Steve. She talks about mood changes, crying at the drop of a hat and being frustrated with that. It's like, same girl. Like, yeah. If I get frustrated sometimes, it's like my body's reaction. I have learned that I'm not the only one that happens to.
Yeah. No, I get that too. If I get, I get so overwhelmed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just get like, and then,
Yep. And then you're trying to have a conversation. As, don't look at my face while I'm... But she talks about like having an elephant on her chest and everything. And I'm like, oh, this sounds like anxiety, which then got the song, that anxiety song stuck in my head that like, I feel like somebody's anxiety. Watching me. Mm-hmm. It's my anxiety. Yeah.
And then Steve's like, do you have respiratory problems? And she's like, I have asthma. And I'm like, no, I don't have asthma. I've never had asthma, but I feel like some of that could be related to asthma.
Mm-hmm.
So
could be.
I don't think, you know, we can rule that out necessarily because AP said there's anxiety. There's like, there are a couple different factors that, no, I'm not saying it's not true.
Well, but you know, on the other side with everything that's in the building, and we're not even just talking about the crematorium, but you've got costumes that people are renting and bringing back. You've got all these different scents. You've got, you know, maybe there's a, I don't really get spring allergies or seasonal allergies, but if it's a really bad pollen year, I will get a little bit of an issue. So, you know, if it adds into that, and if you already have a respiratory, you know, condition that can aggravate and you just don't notice it because it's so gradual. Mm-hmm. But also you have like makeups and I'm assuming that some of that stuff has scent.
Yeah.
I get triggered by scent really easily. Yeah. Not necessarily that my chest feels heavy, but I also don't have asthma.
Right.
And like they're in California, so could there be like some wildfires and smoke? I mean, I feel like for this particular piece of their puzzle, we can't definitively say, oh, that's 100%.
And I don't
paranormal.
Think she ever was saying that it wasn't that. It's not like she's saying she has diabetes because of the paranormal. Spirits.
I think that, you know,
my
she
nail broke. It's for sure the spirits.
Definitely paranormal.
No,
like you both have said, the anxiety. I mean, that when you're having, I used to have panic attacks. Have you guys had panic attacks?
Oh, yeah.
So you feel
super
like
fun.
You can't breathe. You feel like something's pushing on you.
Yes.
I mean, so I can see why that's probably.
We're playing cards on Saturday night and at my sister's house, and one of the light switches to the like main living room area has a dimmer switch, but then the dishwasher was running and they're on the same circuit. So it would every time it would like change gears or whatever, it kicks
it
the lights.
Dim.
Well, at one point it fluttered. The lights just fluttered. And for a good 2 minutes, it was doing that. And I was sitting there like, I could feel like my heart going.
Oh,
like just fluttering in my chest to the light beat.
Weird.
And so I finally like flipped the light off and turned it back on. And everyone just looked at me and I'm like, okay, but it stopped. So I was getting anxious just from that. So, and you talk about if they had any lights that were having issues too, you don't necessarily put that association together if you walk out of the room.
Right.
Oh, I felt really heavy in there, but I walked out and now I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you come back in and the light's not having its little antics.
Hissy fit.
There was another one that I think I heard her talk about this in read in another article, or maybe she talked about it in a haunting, and Amy, you might have made notes on this, but something about like the end of the day at 6 o'clock when they close up, Dana is like, I don't like being here. And it's like, is it just at the end of the day? Because I don't like being at work either at the end of the day. Like,
she said it here. I just found it. She said, so we close at 6 o'clock and I feel like something just wants me out of the building. It's like, I can't get out of the door fast enough. And I'm like,
maybe it's just your family wants you home.
Maybe you just want to beat feet.
Yeah.
Been there all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Peopled too much.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, which
that's a thing.
It is. And like the end of the day, yeah, I'm like, ooh, I got to go home. I don't want to be here. I'm not like, it's paranormal.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yes.
But maybe it is.
You don't know.
You've never worked at a crematorium, I don't think.
That you know of.
That I know of. Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order. Hi everyone, Amy here. As you may have heard, since the ad's been running for about 3 weeks now, I have another podcast. It's called Volsteadland, and it's mainly about a Minneapolis mobster from the 1930s called Kid Can. Well, there's a new book out about him right now, and it is so good. And the book is called Minnesota's Most Notorious Mobster, The Making and Breaking of Kid Can by author Ron DeBlue. I'm telling you this because you can get it on Audible if you go to theactivitycontinues.com/audible. You can get a 30-day free trial by using our link there. That's plenty of time to read this amazing book. And when you get the book, check out page 6 in the acknowledgement section and you might just see a name you recognize. Spoiler alert, it's me. Anyway, check it out. If you're interested in true crime and ghosts of the past, you will enjoy this story. Theactivitycontinues.com/audible to start your free trial. And the book is called Minnesota's Most Notorious Mobster, The Making and Breaking of Kid Can.
I will say Dana said they've had physical attacks. They had a medium that came in here and was scratched, and that was on a haunting. And she was actually a spiritual minister.
Yes. She was interesting.
Gaylene Car something.
Yep.
It's at the bottom. I wrote her name in it because I was like, she was. And again, her character, the actress who played her in A Haunting looked nothing like her.
I know. Gaylene Cornell.
Cornell. I knew it was a C. Okay.
Yeah, she came in. And they also showed in The Haunting, they had been doing EVPs and in the reenactment, mm-hmm. and they were trying to see who was there because they knew somebody was there. And so they brought in a little EVP thing. And they said they were talking to whatever the ghost was and said they asked him what color they should paint the walls. Mm. And they got a voice. I couldn't make out what it said, but I saw in that article she said that it was gray.
Gray.
They told her gray. Well, then later they brought the daughter in because they had figured out that one of the spirits that was there was a teenage girl. So they brought the daughter in and she started talking to her. And we don't have to go into the details of that because it has nothing to do with the Dead Files. But as the woman, the girl that she was talking to, another spirit came in to shut her up. And the daughter got a big scratch on her arm, her hand, on the back of her hand right after that.
That kind of story, because I read a little bit about what that story was, too, and how that's not mentioned at all
at
in
all.
The history of this.
No.
Which, because then...
Not by Steve or Amy. It's weird.
So the building, I don't think that... I mean, the building wasn't built in 1995 when it started as a funeral home and crematorium. No. It was turned into something, but we never hear what it was prior to that. Mm. We don't, you know, so it operated as a funeral home and crematorium for about 18 years, I believe. And then I think they opened in 2015 or 2016, somewhere
there. That's what A Haunting says is they bought it in 2015. Or rented, whatever, took
so
it over.
If the medium was mentioned on the Dead Files, then they had to have recorded A Haunting. Wait, never mind.
Well,
nope, I completely confuse those.
So the two shows that we keep talking about and intermixing, the A Haunting episode came out about 5 months after the Dead Files episode.
Yeah. Okay.
And Dead Files and A Haunting, they didn't run back to back. Like, it didn't show like a Dead Files episode and then A Haunting episode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, if I remember, kind of the Dead Files would run, and then once that season was over, like a Haunting would start up and take its time slot and kind of move along. So when the episodes were filmed, we don't really have a timeline as to when, but they were in the same year.
Yeah.
They could have been weeks apart, months apart. They could have been the other one first and this one second.
For some reason in my mind, them talking about the medium meant A Haunting happened first, but I don't understand how.
They had other mediums in
they did.
Investigations.
Yeah. Well, and the medium, according to A Haunting, the medium, Gaylene Cornell, would have come in around 2015 or so.
Okay.
So, because they're telling that story from when they first took over the place.
Got it.
So that medium was earlier on, like way before the Dead Files
Spirit
or A
Minister.
Haunting was done.
Everyone get out your murder board with some string to follow along
to
today.
Follow this. Or like M and Christine do. M uses little gargoyles. So maybe get your gargoyles.
Oh, okay.
From And That's Why We Drink podcast. Mm-hmm. Right. Not sponsored, but if they want to.
Hey, we could do a partnership. I'd be happy with that.
The last thing we hear from Dana, though, is if there's any evil here, I want it gone. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that, you know, Steve is a very logical, rational person, does not really fully believe in everything, but, you know, is open to it. And he's like, yeah, okay, yep, we should definitely figure this out.
Yeah.
And then we see Amy right away in this next scene. She's talking about this super tall man, and he's dressed like an undertaker, but then says he's the doctor. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck is he? Because we never really get a connection. Like, we get told who he might be, but does it really make sense? But what we do know is he can travel, forms attachments very quickly, and she said it's very unsettling. And I said he's a stage 5 clinger.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And then that's when Michelle starts talking about the EVPs. And I'm like, instantly, I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to. I mean,
yeah.
Well, you can do EVPs without being disrespectful.
You can.
We are just so used to you know who that we just assume that it's bad. And that's not always bad.
We found a woman on Instagram who is a medium who has gone to many places of where you know who has visited. And those spirits say, don't ever say his name again. Yeah, don't bring him up.
Did you notice, AP, in the comments, somebody said, at you know who, don't let this woman talk to you like that. You should sue the shit out of her.
Oh, God.
I'm like, really? I know.
When she's been on there talking, I'm like, she really should be careful.
Yeah, she should.
About.
Yep.
Everybody knows who he's talking about.
Everybody. It's just like when, I mean, I don't want to get into it, but.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
But, yep.
I will say, I thought the choices that they have Michelle explain about, like, she's like, yeah, the first time I did one, I heard a woman moan. I'm like, that's just seemed like a really interesting, like, choice, either a choice of words or just a choice of, like, that's what you want to go ahead and describe. And Steve's like, okay, so is what else could it have been? You've got a lot of stuff here. And she's like, no, it couldn't have been anything else.
Yes. Yeah, all those toys.
Or there's other people here. Could it have been somebody you didn't notice? I mean, how many times do kids go and hide in a clothing rack at a store and say something? It was interesting, too. She said, well, when I first walked in here, I felt okay, but then I felt like I was walking through a bunch of spider webs. Okay, you also have a bunch of wigs in the area.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I know, especially if you're not figuring you're going to walk through something, then you're kind of doing this and you're like, is it my hair? And you don't feel it. And then you realize that it was like hair that fell off of your head is hanging in your mouth.
Like,
and you're
I've
like,
got one right here. Yeah, I actually ran out of my house one day on my way to work, ran out the front door and walked right through a spider web that was going across the porch. I freaked the fuck out. And then I felt it on me for like 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
We had a giant, like I'm talking, her body was this big spider that used to make her webs on the
Charlotte.
Front and the back. Yeah, we called her Charlotte because we're super creative about the names of our wildlife. That's why I have a
Roger
and Jessica rat bunnies. Yeah, it was pretty awful. Every time I walked out of that door afterwards, I was like looking to make sure that there was not a spider web there. it was really yucky.
Going back to questions though that Steve was asking, he's like, is it possible the dead are irritated by you with the EVPs? And you know, like, what do you think about that? She's like, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
Okay, so if Amy said, listen, you got to stop doing these, would you stop? No. Yeah, and it was, I mean, all three of us put a comment in here after that, like, ugh.
I did too. Yep.
Well, and it was like, I might be causing the problem, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like how you see, well, you see teenagers do this all the time, like, you know, not taking ownership of something and then be like, well, it's not affecting me, so what's the deal? It's not my problem. It's your problem.
Republicans.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then she goes on to explain like something where she had a hand come up behind her, this huge mass when she was sitting in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay. Just say you were going to the bathroom. Yeah. And then she's like, I saw this huge mass and it was super tall and I ran out of the bathroom and I'm like, but isn't this what you wanted?
Yeah.
Didn't she?
Yeah.
It's not what you wanted, but it's what you ended up potentially calling in kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't know. We don't know if this was the spirit that was there before they started some of these interactions or if they just got more awake because of interactions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like they even talk about how they do Ouija boards. And I'm like, I feel like in the paranormal community, which they claim to be so immersed in, you know. Ouija boards, you don't fuck with them. Like, that is ghost 101.
And that makes me wonder, like, because I didn't get that vibe from Dana.
No.
Like, is she aware of what they were doing or as often as they were? Maybe she knew that they did these every now and then, but it seems like they do it every day that they're there.
Yeah, it really seems like they are like, well, it's 10 o'clock, time for
they
Ouija
probably are.
Board
I mean,
EVP
if there's nobody.
Session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably do. If there's nobody coming in and out of the store, I mean, I've worked in a store before and it's not busy all the time. You just stand around and shoot the shit with your coworkers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it was haunted, I'd be doing something too, probably.
Yeah.
And then, Steve is like, well, do you feel like it could be dangerous? And Michelle's like, I think it might be threatening. And I'm like, then stop fucking pissing it off.
Yeah.
Stop toying with it. By doing Ouija boards and EVPs, like,
well,
said, like, she's causing this problem and then being like, well,
and, you know, we don't know what the EVPs are saying. Like, are you asking questions? And then it's like responding with like, it wants something, but then you're not doing that, you know, like, like a frustrated toddler, you know, Megan, you probably have this kind of situation or have had it in the past of like, what do you want? I don't understand. No, you can't have that. But or you walk away mid conversation and didn't realize they still wanted to say something. So now they get mad and are throwing things because they're trying to get your attention. Like we're not fully speaking the same language because we can't hear or understand the majority of their language. Right. Mm-hmm.
And again, we don't know, like Amy said, like they could be very respectful with what they're saying and asking, you know, they're not necessarily like, you know, who with screaming at them. But it's like, it's I feel very torn on it because on the one hand, I'm like, okay, we don't know that you're being disrespectful and all of this. But on the other hand, when they're asked if they would stop and they flat out say no, then like, why are we here?
And I think that's the part that gets a little bit on the strong side. just kind of like, well, no, I don't want to stop. So is it, you know, then it's like, okay, now with this, especially with this male presence, because of this, is this the assumption that you've now been flirtatious with him and you are not reciprocating the way that he is expecting you to, and now he's getting more force, like, I don't know. We're not there. We don't, we're only seeing 2 minute interviews with somebody and where things are going from there.
I mean, of a week, you know, of a multi-day investigation, hours and hours of footage. So
we know how much is cut.
We know. How, and maybe, you know, Michelle and Ava are super respectful and they cut it to make it look like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, they, I will say in A Haunting, when they do show the EVP stuff, it all seems, they're just asking questions and they're
EVP
just being nice.
Feels, still
so
feels different
I
than
Ouija. I tend to want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're not fucking around. But I do think it's weird that they're saying they're not going to stop, even if Amy says they should.
And like even that, I mean, the innocent questions going, just going back to, are you promising something you can't actually fulfill on because you don't know that that's what you're saying kind of thing? That's, you know, and that maybe that plays into a little bit of where Amy was kind of like, know who the hell you're talking to.
100%. Like,
So I think there's some innocent intention.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I think that there's also the EVP and Ouija feel different to me. I would do EVPs. I would not play with a Ouija board.
Right. Oh, no. Same.
Like, I would love to go and sit and communicate and do all those sorts of things. So if anybody wants to take me on a ghost hunt, I'm happy to go.
I would love to do that. But one of our patrons suggested that we go on a field trip, and she sent me a, I was going to say her name, but I can't remember what her, Bodega Cat. It's Bodega Cat. She sent me an Instagram reel with a bunch of haunted places, and one of them was in St. Paul, but some of them were a little further away, and then one was in Scotland, and I'm like, well, I want to go to the one in Scotland.
Yeah,
I'll go.
But yeah, I think that would be fun to do that sometime.
Where was the one in St. Paul? Do you remember what it was?
No, I don't remember. It was a hotel, I think. No, I can't remember what it was.
There's a super haunted hotel in Stillwater.
Might have been St. Paul Hotel.
St. James is down in Red Wing.
Yeah. Don't remember if that was listed. I don't think so. They were all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so that's something be fun to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all this to say that we don't know for sure. Just some things feel icky just based off of the way that it's presented to us. Yeah, and that's all we have to go off of. And so there's that. Yep. This is where I have done presentations on intention versus perception.
Sure.
So your intention may be one way, but the way that it comes, it's perceived, can be totally different.
Yeah. Right.
And then after this whole interaction with Michelle, we hear from Amy talking about this shadow-like tall man. He's grown, you know, he's in control. He doesn't care much for what everything else is going on. He can touch people. He likes to be physical. He says, I'm not always aggressive, but do I have to be? I'll be aggressive.
Yeah.
Which then plays into like, do you know who you're messing with kind of thing? Like, are you potentially, again, are you saying that you're going to go get him a cheeseburger, but then you never show up with a cheeseburger?
Yeah.
You know, that's my
Yeah. I will say The Haunting, they did do a reenactment of.
Hi, baby.
It was weird because it was Michelle and I'm assuming maybe Dana was in the room with her. And they were sitting there doing like a session and all of a sudden the room got dark. And then Dana said, Michelle, whatever you do, don't look behind you. And there was this huge
shadow,
like shadow figure, like all the way up to the ceiling.
Fun.
Yeah.
It helped not be super scary because the CGI was really bad.
I think it was really bad.
But it was still scary.
Well, then we meet Ava on the next one. We've already talked about everything, but I remember her from when I first saw this episode.
Oh, really?
Because the hair.
The hair, yeah.
It's the hair.
Oh, her hair, yes.
Yeah. She looks like, who is that musician that wears the big hat? He's from like some hard rock band. Oh. And he's got the black hair that goes all the way into his eyes.
He's from Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
He wears the big top hat. Yes, Slash.
Slash, yeah.
I think he's the guitarist. Mm-hmm. How did I know that? I don't know, but.
She reminded me a little bit of like a mix of Elvira, and I know you said Morticia earlier for Amy
Allen's
hair
look when she was doing the walk. She was a little Morticia looking,
but just because of the length and everything, mm-hmm. I don't know, just a little bit of the Elvira vibes.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have to get too much into what she
we
says
pretty
here.
Much
other,
about,
yeah, yeah, other than about just that being addicted to.
Oh yeah, when she
Steve,
says
Steve. Okay, so you know, Dana said you have some groups in here and that have used the Ouija board. Were you a part of it? I wasn't before, but we've done it on our own. And what if Amy says that, you know, something's going on here and you should stop doing this? Do you think you would stop? I don't think I could stop. You sound like a drug addict. I'm a spirit drug addict, I guess, because I'm talking to people. Mm-hmm. And then Steve's like, that's how junkies talk.
Yep. Yep.
And she's like, yeah, I enjoy talking with them. And it's like, you guys are here and on the show, as Megan mm-hmm. has said, because there are not great things happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet you're doing this stuff, potentially egging them on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I really was like in Steve's corner this episode because he was like, that's how, like AP said, that's how junkies talk. And I'm like, yeah. Fucking call her out on it. Like, just because we want to do something and it's fun doesn't mean we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's junkies.
Yeah.
We all do things we're not supposed to do. That
yes.
Fun.
I mean, except me, but I'm sure other people do.
Right. Obviously.
I can't think of a single thing.
I can't either, Megan.
Nothing mm-mm. comes mm-mm. to mind.
The next scene freaked me out with Amy where she sees the seance.
Yes.
And she says, I'm hearing a song, Witches Gather in Black Masses.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a AC/DC song or something.
I Googled that.
Or Guns
and
Roses.
I got Witches Gather in Black Magic. There is a song.
Yep.
Oh.
Okay. That. And then she also says the energy is too chaotic to get clear information or to perform clear ritual or anything of that nature. I'm like, whoa. And I, you know, you got to figure that some of that has got to be residual energy or stuff like, you know, we've heard about negative energy building off. Well, now you've mm-hmm. got hundreds of people a year coming through here that are upset and have a loss and all of that. Yep. So this thing has to be whatever is around, and maybe that's where she talks about like the earth swallowing up, is there's mm-hmm. just so much feeding into mm-hmm. bringing in that negative nature.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And then she even says here, she's like,
it's the energy is too chaotic to get clear information or to perform clear ritual or anything of that nature here. It's not okay.
I mean, would it be dangerous?
Hell yeah. It's gonna go bad.
Yeah. Yep. And and then you have these women who are like, we do this every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
and I know it sounds like I don't like Michelle and Ava, and I really do. Like I do. I think that they're, like AP said, intention versus
perception.
The other thing. Yes. I think they have good intentions, but you also know what they say about the road to hell and intentions.
And even it could have started off as good intentions and then it just gets warped because you're still thinking you're doing how you started it, not where you're at.
Yes.
Which
I don't think they actively mean harm. I don't think
I think they look very confused in the end too when Amy's like, yeah, this is all the stuff that's happening to you, and they're all like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I think that they're just doing it because it's fun and exciting, but it's like they're not thinking, you know, that these are actually, you know, people and spirits and potentially not people, potentially something even darker. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. that's what happens when you have a Ouija board. Like you open yourself up to anything.
And I will say, I think that first part of the show was really fascinating and interesting. The next part gets really heavy, and I'd like to just hit the top points and not go too deep into any of them because they're all
dark.
I think are connected to that demon child's thing, whatever it is.
All these things that
all these things
did.
That come in because they're all domestic violence related. They are all familial issues. Yeah. So I just kind of want to give a quick.
Yeah, you just pick out what you think we need to go. I don't think we made a lot of jokes in this section, so.
No, it's too hard.
Go ahead
it's horrible.
And just pick
the
what
first
you
one.
Hi, friends. This episode ended up being super long since we were actually covering two shows, both the Dead Vows episode Shop of Horrors and the episode of A Haunting, where the same clients and location were covered. So that's it for this week. Next week, we will pick up where we left off with Steve's archive digging and the reveal. See you then. Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds podcast network. This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.